Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Sam Pets Radio, Australia's coolest podcast network.
Hi everybody, welcome to a very special episode of All the Small Games. We are recording this on the evening of my 36th birthday party extravaganza. It's the end of the night, but we're old, so the end of the night is 9:28 p.m. Everyone left hours ago, leaving me, Andrew Levins, alone with a friend from Melbourne, the one and only Joel Dusha.
Hello, it's me, Joel Dusha.
You may know Joel from Thumb Cramps and Plumbing the Death Star and How Good's Footy and various other podcasts on Sans Pants Radio, including the brand new one,
Baseless Speculation. That's one that people fucking love. We take a thing that's coming up soon and we're like, I wonder what's going to happen in that. And then we guess.
Yeah.
And are we right? Sometimes. People love it for some reason. To me, it just seems like reading a list of things that could happen in an upcoming thing, but that's fine. If you like it, keep listening.
So Joel's still here. My kids have gone to bed.
Yep.
All my friends have gone home, including my good friend John Valenzuela,
yep,
regular co-host of this podcast. And he said, "Do me proud." Do me proud, Levins and Joel.
He whispered in my ear when he was like, he'd like handed me a baton and said, "Do me proud." And I was like, "John, I promise I'll do my best."
So this is going to be a magical special episode because this is a podcast about games in which I've invented a game.
Oh my god.
A drinking game.
Oh my god.
Because if you are a regular listener of Thumb Cramps, you will know that I have christened Joel Dusha as the Switch Snitch.
Correct.
And so every time he has access to it on his podcast, as soon as someone talks about a game, if Joel is friends with that person on Switch, Nintendo Switch, yeah, Joel will look up that person's profile and see how many hours of that game someone has gone into. So I thought I would come up with a very fun game.
Uh-huh.
And it is called Battle Switch.
Ah, great name.
So I'm going to give you my Switch.
Uh-huh.
And you get, let's say, 10 rounds.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And you are going to go through my Switch. Okay. All right. First of all, to just give everyone an idea of how fun this is going to be.
Uh-huh.
Let's find out how many games I have on my Switch.
Okay. Cool.
Dusha, how many games do you think I have on my Switch?
I remember very early, well, not very early on, I would say about 18 months ago, you claimed that you'd owned about one third of the Switch store.
What a claim. That's great.
So I reckon we're looking at over 150 games. I'm going to go 206.
Okay, 206. All right. I'm going to guess that I have I have between 400 and 500 games.
Jesus
on here.
Christ.
Okay, so that's all right. So there's in rows of six, so we have to count how many rows down I can scroll and then times it by six. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. We're up to L. 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, 50, 51, 52, 53, 54, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60, 61, 62, 63, 64, 65, 66, 67. So 67, but the 67th row only has three games in it. So what's 66 by 6?
So 66 by 6 is 396.
Plus 3.
Plus 3. 399.
I was so close to 400.
So
God
close.
Damn it.
Quickly, buy something. Buy something.
Yeah. Make it.
Well, that includes Pac-Man 99. So you have purchased something from the store recently.
Not a purchase, technically. There are. If you want to get into it, there are a few games in here, like, you know, the Nintendo Switch Online libraries, those kinds of things.
Do you have any demos?
The YouTube app. Yep. Yeah, a few things. I have removed some things completely from my library. But look, I have a lot of games, okay? I've sorted my games by title. Mm-hmm. And the way we're going to play Battle Switch is...
No.
I'm going to give you my Switch.
Uh-huh.
You have to find a game on here
uh-huh.
that you... And you have to accuse me of never even opening this
okay.
game.
Yep. That's I reckon I can do
look,
that.
Look, I'm a very honest man. Uh-huh. I will tell you the truth.
Uh-huh.
And you can call me on it. You play okay, if you've played this game, what's the game about? And we can talk about it. And
deal.
If you're not satisfied with my answer, I have to drink. But if I get it wrong, you have to drink.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Okay, so I'm gonna give you my Switch.
All right, perfect.
This is all the small games. Very special episode. Not sure if it's gonna be in the main feed or the Patreon feed.
Either way, you're listening to it, it is an absolute treat. Straight off the bat, there's one that I'm not going to guess, but it's something that I did want to talk about is, because I downloaded this as well, the Balan Wonderland demo.
Yeah.
It is one of the worst video game experiences I've ever had. I downloaded it for, like, I'm not even going to talk about it on Thumb Cramps, but I downloaded it because I thought it would be funny to talk about on Thumb Cramps. I started playing it, and I was like, yeah, it's bad, but also, like, it's not... broken enough for me to keep playing it. It's not fun. There's nothing interesting.
It's,
every button is a jump button. That's like...
It's crazy.
The like, funniest
and thing. And it's not like, yeah, so like, yeah, A, B, X, and Y, they all jump, but also all the shoulder buttons jump.
except and, left and right, which change costume.
That's right.
That's it.
And you can get costumes, which... The jump button like will make you breathe fire or turn into a square, but you can't jump when you're wearing the costumes. It's an insane design choice.
All right, so I'm gonna have a guess. A game you've never even opened.
Yep.
Final Fantasy VIII Remastered.
Fuck. Off the bat, bro.
Yes.
All right. Well done. Because I plan to get to that once I finished Final Fantasy VII.
That was.
I've not finished that. Yeah. Okay, all right. How much do I chug?
I reckon just like a mouth. Yeah. Yeah, that's decent mouthful. Okay. Yeah, that's good. That's fair.
We're drinking Bloke in a Bar beer, but it's called Bloke in a Cardigan because it's the Brown Cardigan lager.
And look, listeners, you've probably just realized we've been drinking for a while before this. All right.
We've been drinking long enough for everyone else to leave.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah, it's a there's a lot of things you can, you know, that you could just pick a random weird game that you've never even heard of, but
there's a chance.
There's a chance that I've put 60 hours into it. Final Fantasy VIII is a game that I hear great things about.
All right, this is another very cheap shot. Yeah, no, I've got a friend who will never listen to this podcast, but he swears by Final Fantasy VIII to the point where I've only played VII for a little bit. And I want to play 8 pretty badly because he's like obsessed with it. Also, my second choice is No More Heroes 2 Desperate Struggle.
Fuck off. Don't do these cheap shots. You know I haven't finished the first one.
I'm just going to keep picking
okay,
sequels.
I'll drink anyway. That's fine. That is a great tactic. I didn't think of that.
Yeah.
I'm smart. So
switched on. I love the No More Heroes games so much. I played both of them on the Wii.
And they are like, they're kind of like that, like, kind of kings of indie games.
Yeah, the Grasshopper Manufacturer, I think, is the name.
Suda, is it?
Yeah,
Suda 51.
Suda 51, but it's like Grasshopper something.
Yeah, Crystal Studios, yeah, whatever it is, yeah.
I love all of those games, and like even the ones that people are like, oh, this sucks.
Well, so you got that weird collection of minigames one?
Yeah, Travis...
I heard that Travis Strikes Back is what it's called, yeah. Is that fun?
I started playing it and was like pretty bummed because this was like No More Heroes 3 being announced, and I was like, ugh, this isn't what I wanted, and it sucks that they've just thrown it all
away.
Isn't
there a
this.
Hotline Miami level?
Yeah, well, it starts with, at first you don't really have a choice of what's going on, so like the first couple of levels were bad, but also it really bummed me out because like I love the first No More Heroes, and they hadn't announced 3 yet, and I was like, oh, they've thrown it all away, like this isn't
gonna
sell well.
Yeah, this is what it is now,
yeah. But now that No More Heroes 3 has been announced, I could probably go back and play this knowing that there is still a future of the games, and
yeah,
I'll probably have a much better time
of No More Heroes 1 and 2, because I'm 2 bosses into 1,
yeah,
and then there's, you know how many distractions there are when you're trying to play an old game. I stopped. Which of the two games are your favorite?
Like 1 better, but 1 also has a very annoying thing that 2 doesn't have, which is the open world part.
Right.
They stopped trying to do that because the open world, like driving around between missions, controls so terribly, but it's clearly just like this is the era where every game needs to do that. But yeah, I really like 1. Like, just like the boss fights, and like the story is fucked up. There's like a twist right at the end of the game that plays in fast forward, but like YouTube and stuff like that have slowed it down because it's like legitimately a cutscene in fast forward.
Oh, right.
Because yeah, one of the characters reveals their motivations, and it's just like fucked, and it does not fit into like a, so when these games came out on Wii, they were just like rated M, and I was like, oh, this is like a lot of blood for an M rated game, and now they've been ported to Switch, they've both got the R rating in Australia, and I was like, yeah, that probably makes more sense.
Not banned in Australia,
not
though.
Banned, unlike some other games that I love, like Hotline Miami 2 and Disco Elysium,
yep,
which I haven't played but seems very up my alley. Ooh, I'm going to really take a huge risk here.
Okay, let's do it.
Resident Evil 4.
Fuck.
Yes!
You're picking... This is an indie game podcast. You should try and pick some indie titles. I guess No More Heroes 2 kind of is. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I know that's one of your favorite games of all time, right?
The first No More Heroes, it's probably like...
Resident Evil.
Oh, Resident Evil 4. Yeah. Yeah. I've played, like, I own that on GameCube, I own it on Wii, I own it on Switch, and I might also own it on PS4. Every time it gets ported to something, I'm like, fuck, I need to buy that game. It's so good. Also, it influenced, like, a lot of games that I also end up loving. So, like, I'm recently started playing Dead Space for the first time, and it controls and plays very much like Resident Evil 4, and I just immediately felt at home. Or, like, if you haven't played Resident Evil 4 and you've played some of the newer games, these aren't indie games, and I'm sorry, but, like...
No, it's fine. It's games.
Yeah. Like, The Last of Us and stuff like that. Like, without Resident Evil 4, those games would not exist.
Did you see the news from this week?
Sony being like, hey, guys, we're announcing a brand new port of The Last of Us 1 to PS5. Also, it's a remake, I think, not a port?
Yeah, they're remaking Last of Us 1, a game which is currently available in like a PS5 version in 60 frames per second.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's still an immensely playable game. It feels like a PS3 game, sure, but it's an extremely good one.
Well, yeah, even like the port on PS4, like when I originally played that and I'd played PS4 games, I was like, oh, wow, this is a beautiful game. Crazy.
If you go to Bloomberg, Jason Schreier, the video game journalist, wrote an article about what's going on behind PlayStation and what led to these, you know, this remake and the teams that have started working on it, and the teams that aren't. It's a pretty fascinating article, pretty damning of Sony Studios.
All right, I don't know if this counts as an indie game, but it's definitely made by a tiny game studio. But the property is like pretty mainstream, but I do not think that you have played Stranger Things 3, the game.
Yeah, John used to work for Netflix in Australia, and he got me a code for this.
Yeah,
and I was like, I haven't seen this season. This is, isn't it just like,
hey,
it just retells what happens in season 3.
I haven't seen any of Stranger Things either. Yeah. I'm not a TV guy, so idea.
That's a fascinating fact about you.
Yeah,
Joel watches like 4 movies a day. But thinks 2 TV is
too much.
Too much. I watched 1 episode with my wife, and she was like, "Oh, this is horror! No!" And we never watched anything beyond that. Okay, cool. Time to drink.
I'm getting like close to the bottom, so I've taken like all of the like.
That's 4. So you got 4 from 4 so far. Very good.
All right. This game was on special, and I considered buying it, but then also was worried that it would be kind of annoying, and like, because another thing that I really it like rubs me the wrong way, which is weird to say because I love the No More Heroes games, and like Borderlands doesn't phase me too much, but when games think they're funny, or like try really hard to be funny, sometimes it just like switches my brain off. Like the idea of playing any of the South Park games is just like not for me.
Oh, they're really good though.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. Like I know that they're good and I like South Park. It's just like, I don't know. I think I've just been like,
I think even like without the humor, though, they're just good games. Yeah. With excellent tactics.
Have you played them on Switch? I've, unrelated. I didn't see them on here, so I didn't think.
No, I've only played them on PS4.
Yeah, but I wonder how they play on Switch, because that could be fun, because they're like,
RPGs, they're like, I don't think they're particularly like, you know.
Yeah. Hey, let us know hardly, if you played them on the Switch. Does it play like shit or is it good? Because I will probably buy them on Switch if they play well. Anyway, West of Loathing.
One of John's favorite games. An amusing stick figure RPG.
The amusing part. That's the thing that stopped me from buying it.
And he loves it so much. And I can tell you like multiple moments from this games. But Joel Dusha, I have to admit, this is not a game that I have ever opened. Okay.
All right.
Another big gulp.
I've got another one. And this is
You're an five from five.
Yeah. I'm on fire. I'm getting really thirsty here, Levins. I'm just dying of thirst. I don't actually know how to pronounce this, but it's something that's on my watch list. And it's been criticized for being very bad taste because the framing device of this game is based around the real life death of a person.
Oh God, what is this?
It's YIIK, a postmodern RPG. Yilk. Yeah.
So I got a code for this game.
Yeah.
And then John was like, this game is awful.
Yeah.
Don't play this game. And so I didn't. Okay. Off I go.
It's good to see you stay hydrated.
Absolutely, man. Look after your friends. This is actually, I have to say, a very good beer.
Yeah, I'm drinking one now. It's my first one of the night.
I feel like you often get like, oh, like, you know, oh, it's a boutique beer. It's a collab between two like funny things. And it's always going to be like an IPA, like something super fruity and thick. I like that they just made like a really solid lager.
Yeah, they were just like, yeah, sweet. This is just a standard beer. Nothing funny about it. It's just a beer.
Yep.
All right. I've scrolled back up to the top. So there's like, I went like six.
So you've got
six.
Six for six. That's you've done
huge,
it.
Huge. All right.
Next one, whoever, right or wrong, finishes their beer.
Oh, no.
I have two children's birthdays to attend tomorrow.
Yeah, and just before we recorded this, your wife, B, was like, hey, is like waking up at like 7:30 going to be okay? You're like, yeah, it's only like 9 something. I'll be totally fine. And then immediately picked up 4 beers and being like, yeah, let's play a drink.
I'm like 12 in. Like, but it's, you know, when you spread it out over the course of the day and you're eating, yeah.
All right, I found a horny anime game, which I feel like would have stuck in my memory if you've played, but this game's called Blade Strangers.
Can you show me? Oh, eat shit, I have played that.
Fuck!
That's a Nicholas game.
Yeah. That one?
Yeah, that's the one. It's an anime a game. It's a fighting game Blade Strangers is actually kind of sick.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like, see, this is the thing, and if you are listening to this podcast and you're not usually somewhat like scared off by horny anime looking games, a lot of the time games
that's
that are
brand,
like
my personal brand. It's so funny. Let's do a little bit peek behind the Sans Pants curtain. Zamit, the boss of Sans Pants, had to make a not safe for work general channel for our work chat because and he blamed directly Tom Walker and myself are prone to posting horny hentai and
hentai adjacent content sometimes,
and he's about to get in a bunch of new people, and he doesn't want us to get sued. I just love like Tom Walker, I understand, but like like the father of two published children's author. He just posts too much hentai.
Well, Tom Walker recently, so because Tom Walker in COVID started streaming a lot on Twitch and has become quite a popular Twitch streamer. But recently, in the last couple of months, had to stop showing his Twitter feed on Twitch because he follows a fanfic artist that focuses mostly on incredibly muscular men, gay porn.
So it's so sick.
It's the funniest thing because the pairings are always so.
It's great.
Funny.
It's like super ultra graphic, like 3D rendered porn of like Thanos boning like Walter from The Big Lebowski. Yeah. It rules. I love it so much. It's so inspired. I like, it's not even like, I'm not a particularly horny dude, but I just think horny content
it's
fucking,
so funny.
Fucking rocks.
The beer that I have had to finish was 3/4 full. So,
okay, go, bro. There. Go chug. I'll tell you about Blade Strangers. Blade Strangers is a game published by Nicolas a couple years ago, and it's a fighting game which involves multiple characters from different game franchises, a lot of indie characters, including Shovel Knight. Characters from Cave Story, Code of Princess EX, The Binding of Isaac, Umehara Kawase, Gunvolt.
Is so funny considering the thumbnail, which is mostly anime girls in bikinis.
Yeah. It's a little bit horny for sure.
No, hey.
But it's if you are someone that's like afraid of fighting games, it's actually a pretty good entry level fighting game because it's like a two button fighter.
Oh, yeah, sick.
Yeah. Yeah. This guy's ripping some burps.
Yeah. It turns out, yeah, just necking a beer is...
How good. I'm so glad that I'm...
Good.
You said you were thirsty, bro.
Yeah,
you
know, I was.
I'm looking out for you.
Thank you so much. All right. Next up. Oh, this is another big swing.
I love it. Please swing. Do we continue the next thing? Am I...
Yeah, I'm probably going to need another beer. So this one, I reckon this is a 50-50 chance, but it's there, and I'm no coward. Have you ever played Crash Team Racing on the Switch?
Jodisha, I have played the entire first world of Crash Team Racing.
Whoa, that's huge! Very, very, I mean, I'm gonna have a drink now, but very solid racer. Like,
yeah, really good.
My household absolutely thrashed it on PS4. One of my housemates was a big fan of the original on PS1. Like, one of the only games that she played as, like, a... I guess, like, preteen. And, yeah, when it got remastered, yeah, our household was just obsessed with it for a really long time.
If you don't want to pay the quite pricey price of the remake of Crash Team Racing, it is available for a limited time only on PS3 and PS Vita, the original version... not the remastered version. It's like $4 on there.
Yeah, that's sick. I think at the moment, I mean, at the time of recording at least, and hey, I might be too late, but I think it's also 50% off on the Switch store at the moment, so it brings it down to like $30-something.
Yeah, really fun. It does a lot of things that I wish the Mario Kart games would do,
yeah.
And it's like introducing like boss battles,
yeah,
and things like that. Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's the thing with Crash Team Racing. Like, it feels kind of in a similar vein, it's less Mario Kart and more Diddy Kong Racing.
Yes, and that, yeah, those elements they don't necessarily have to be like in the main part of Mario Kart, but it would be cool to have like, I would love to see what the Mario Kart devs would do with the idea of a boss battle.
Yeah. All right. Here's another one. And this is a very famous indie game. So I'm not entirely sure why I've decided to pick this one, but it's fresh in my brain because Jackson and Zamet from Thumb Cramps have both played this game before and hate it so much. It's from like the first wave of like very famous indie games. It kind of popped up around the same time as like Hotline Miami.
Okay.
Things like that. And that is Dust, an Elysian Tale.
I have played
a
little bit of this because I love Metroidvanias.
Yeah.
This is like a furry one.
Yeah.
And I played maybe the first hour of this game. It didn't grab me.
And the furry content is apparently, like, through the roof. It's not like the horny anime games. We just need to, like, push through it for a bit. It's just, like, if you're not on board with, like, this being a furry game, it is...
Well, no, it's just, like, yeah. It's, like, yeah, I guess it's, like, all the animals are, like, a little bit hot. So you guys gotta live with it and push through. Metroidvania games, like, I need to, like, have a reason that I want to,
yeah.
Like, I need to see and be teased with the things that I can't get yet.
Yeah.
And it didn't do much of that.
Yeah. It
feels a little bit like a brawler game more than a Metroidvania game.
Oh, yeah, sweet. Yeah. So Guacamelee, I guess, like, is probably a good example of that. But that also, at the start, you become very aware of the fact that there is abilities you don't have yet.
I need to finish Guacamelee 2 so bad. I started it on PS4. And then it came out on Switch, and I have it on both.
They both play super well. Okay.
And they're all on Xbox Game Pass, I think, as well.
Yeah, it plays super well on the Switch. My next game is Guacamelee 2 on the Switch.
No, I just gave you that. You're not allowed that to cheat. But also, I have played that. I just told you I played that.
You said you've played it, but you need to finish it. I assume you just... Anyway, look.
I have played Guacamelee 2.
You said it doesn't count, so I'm fine. Now, this is an interesting one. Not an indie game. One of the biggest games in the world. Very funny to find it on here. and you've probably dabbled in it, because I know I have, and immediately was like, I don't know what's going on, and then quit. Fortnite.
I have Fortnite on my Switch.
You have Fortnite on your
That's
Switch.
That's so funny. I'll fully admit it. I have never even opened Fortnite on my Switch.
You've got Fortnite on your Switch.
Yeah. It's a game that, like, I feel like a curmudgeonly old man.
Yeah.
For not even dabbling in. But yeah. Also, like, yeah, it does all of it does nothing for me. It's mostly, I mean, like, online games in general. Like, you know, we were playing Pac-Man 99 earlier today. That kind of online game experience.
Fun.
Which it just feels like I'm playing a single-player game. You know, it happens that you're playing at the same time as other people. And there are, I guess, like, you know, if you get into the get deep into it, you can be more competitive.
Yeah.
But, yeah, online games, they don't appeal to me that much.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't mind online games, but, like, poor. It's gonna be a burpy episode. It's like Angus is here.
Yep.
Big online games like that, like I've played Among Us for like 45 minutes. I've dabbled in Fortnite. I immediately stopped playing. I'm like, this isn't like, it's not that it's not fun, it's just like it has just entirely passed me by, and like I'm not gonna have the abilities to get good, I guess, or like even competitive, or even and I think this is a big problem with, like, Battle Royale games now. Like, PUBG would have this for sure, which is the game starts, and if you're a new player, you're not going to have enough time to figure out what the fuck is going on before someone kills you. So it's, like, kind of the equivalent of, like, if you're a younger sibling and you're playing a video game with an older brother. Like, let's cast our minds back to, like, the late 90s, and you're playing GoldenEye with someone that's like a couple of years older than you. You start playing it, immediately they just like rock up and shoot you, and you're like, I don't even know the controls yet. That's the same feeling I get anytime I play any of these type of games.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. You just die immediately. Yeah. And you're like, oh, it's not my fault. Yeah, the highlight of tonight for me, one of the highlights, was my son deciding to confide in you that all of his friends play Among Us and he doesn't know what it is.
Yeah.
Like, almost like like the sad tale of Archie Levins.
I was like, what do you know about Among Us? I've played a little bit. I can help you. And he was like, I don't know. And I was like, okay.
You made like a sus joke and he didn't understand what the hell you were talking about. So he must be just not getting any references at school.
Sorry, I gave him. I hope he's quoting me at school tomorrow. Tomorrow is a weekend. So
also, it's school holidays for another week. So hence why we're doing Battle Switch instead of me playing a video game, because it's been very hard to play games during school holidays.
Yeah. Yeah, that's rough. All right. Oh, I've been stalling for time for a really long time. All right. Here's one that I've played,
mm-hmm.
and one that John's played, and one that I don't think is a particularly good game, but it's a crazy concept. But I do not think that this has your name written all over it at all, and I don't think you have played Snakey Boss.
Is that the one where you are like... It's like Centipede, but with it, you're a bus.
And it's like Crazy Taxi.
Yeah, dude, I reviewed this game on Thumb Cramps.
But oh my God, you did too. Fuck. That's right, because that was when you came on. I was like, yeah, I spoke about this last week. And you were like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Oh, that's amazing. So you've tried to talk about a game that I've already talked about on Thumb Cramps, and you've just brought it up again then now?
Yeah, no, so I reviewed it, then you reviewed it, then I forgot you reviewed it, even though when you mentioned it, I was like, yeah, I spoke about that last week. And you were like, oh, shit. And then you started talking about a different game, but it just didn't stick with me, I guess.
Drink up, motherfucker. That's great. Snakey Bus. I don't know how many numbers we're at. Should we do three more?
Three more sounds good.
Okay.
Well, I lost the last... three, I think. So I think
you got me on Fortnite.
Oh, that's right.
So I think we're 7-3. Four. Yeah. 7-4, I think.
Yeah.
If I'm wrong, don't let anyone know.
Yeah.
It's but, a secret. But let's three. You have a chance of making it a tie.
All right. I don't know this game at all. So great. This is why I think
this is what I was looking forward to, you going like, oh really? You've played like
Space and ate our brains.
Yo, I've actually played that game.
What type of game is it?
It's been reviewed on all the small games.
Oh no! I thought I was so switched on to what you guys are talking about.
It's like a you know, like zombie shooter, except it's aliens.
That makes sense.
It's very, very simple, like a 3D third person shooter.
Fuck.
Yeah.
I figured if I hadn't heard of it, then it was a pretty safe bet, but guess not.
Safe play. So now we're at 5-7.
Fuck.
There's all plenty right. of games in there I haven't played.
All right. Mini trains.
Okay. Mini trains
uh-huh.
is a game.
Uh-huh. Great start.
That came out.
Uh-huh.
It's published by a group of, published by a publisher that puts out a bunch of like weird games that are always on sale on the eShop.
Yeah, the 90% off kind of games.
Yes, that's right. And so one time they were like, 90% off, that's not good enough. We are going to make all of our games free.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get all the free games, you also get another game for free.
Uh-huh.
And this included a coloring in app, like, one game where a very simple kind of like jumping platformer game.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was like school holidays when these came out. It was during COVID.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, fuck yeah, I'll get all of them and I'll play all of these games with my kids. And Mini Trains, actually the best of all the games.
Fuck!
And it's like, yeah, you basically setting up a toy train to play with... to play with on the thing. It's a lot more simple than Mini Metro, whatever.
Which Zaman was has just been, like Mini Metro, which when I looked it up, it just looked like a regular train map, and then there was like
shapes. Oh no, that game gets super hard. Yeah.
Oh, so you've played it? Oh yeah, because you're a big Apple Arcade guy.
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe that could be the second time we play this game. You just go through the Apple Arcade library and try and pick the games that I've played.
All right, time to get serious. I reckon I've
So now we're at 6-7 now.
I had like a huge lead and you've just whittled it down. All right.
If you get this right, the game's over.
Mm-hmm.
You win.
Uh-huh.
8-6.
Uh-huh.
If you get this wrong,
it's a tie.
It's a tie and then you get one more.
And I feel like if it's a tie, then the last one, we both open a fresh drink and whoever loses...
okay, good idea, good idea. This is a Battle Switch. It's going to take over the world. They're going to be playing this on Twitch. We're playing Battle Switch Twitch with the Switch Snitch. Thanks so much for playing my awful jingle every time you...
oh, yeah. It's saved on my computer and it's so funny every time I put it in. All right. So, this game is a game I, again, haven't heard of. The thumbnail is awful. It's one of those things that if you're listening to All the Small Games and you also listen to Hey Fam, this is the type of thumbnail that Angus would bring up and say is a disgrace and Nintendo should be ashamed or maybe shut down.
Like this, he'd probably describe this as an alarm clock game.
No, this isn't an alarm clock game. It looks like a Flash game. It looks like it should be on Newgrounds.
Okay.
All right. It's called Slain Back from Hell.
Give me a look at that thing. Yeah, so this actually you're right. It's not good. But before Blasphemous came out, which is a tremendous indie game, which Joel hasn't spoken about on Thumbcramps
not yet. But I went, so look, hey, if you're listening to this and you're also a Thumbcramps listener, it's going to come up in the future because Jackson and I both played Blasphemous when Blasphemous came out and it didn't like quite grab us. For me, I understand immediately why it didn't grab me because it's like quite hard and I hadn't played Metroidvania like Hollow Knight at that point. But for Jackson, it should have been super up his alley. Anyway, I've gone back after finishing Hollow Knight and started playing Blasphemous, and within like 15 minutes, I was like, this game is the best. I don't understand what's wrong with me.
I don't understand what's wrong with Jackson.
Yeah, the Jackson one is really confusing.
I don't understand a lot of the things that are wrong with Jackson. But this game sounds like something he would... like. I love that game. I finished it. I managed to finish it. I got a very early code.
You got a review code.
And I finished it before it came out.
Yeah, you had to message the developers.
So I was like, I'm stuck. Please help me with this part.
You were just like, I want to 100% it. There's no walkthroughs yet. Please help me with this bit. I don't think I was ready for the difficulty of this game when I first played it, and then now that I've played it post Hollow Knight, where I have in theory gotten good, it's so good. It is such a fun game.
I've played Slain, and the reason I bring up the comparison to Blasphemous is that this is what Slain looks like.
Oh, yeah, sick. It looks like a Flash version of Blasphemous.
Yeah, it's originally on Vita. It's a game I didn't really give a proper chance to.
Yeah. Oh, actually, if it was originally on Vita, it could be, like, good.
Weirdly. There's some good-looking bosses. I'm just, like, scrolling through the art now.
Oh, yeah, sick.
I played a little bit of it, and I was like, okay, cool, this isn't the Blasphemous game. It just kind of looks a little bit like Blasphemous. Cool, so we are 7-7. We are tied. This has been a very fun first round. First ever.
First round? Oh, fuck.
Yeah. You're never going back to Melbourne.
That's all right.
So, loser of this next round has to skull a whole beer.
Yeah.
And then do our social media finale. What's it gonna be? Are you gonna go with like a sequel? Are you gonna be a cheap shot artist, or are you going to just be like, I haven't heard of this? Why would Levins have heard of this?
Yeah, there's like a couple of things that I listen to all the small games, so I'm just like trying really hard to find something that you haven't spoken about and something that isn't popular. Something that either is installed or not installed in your Switch doesn't seem to make a difference, because the ones that I was on very early on, they're on your Switch, but you'd never played.
Yeah, because also a year ago, I got a bigger memory card, and so I had to take everything off it, and then, yeah, there are a few games that just don't live on my memory card.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair. I'm scrolling back up to the top. This is tense. All right.
Highlight. This is the highlight of my life so far as a 36-year-old.
So I'm down to C's.
And I crack this beer open. It's one of ours. This will be my... If I have to skull this, it'll be my 14th beer.
I have no idea how many beers I've drank tonight or this afternoon, but I know that sculling a beer is...
good fun.
It'd probably be good. It'd be good for me.
We also have two unopened beers, yeah, so maybe we could just do it. Maybe we can both lose.
All right.
That'd be great if the most listened to moment on all the small games history is two guys chugging a beer. Each.
Fuck.
The pressure's on. Please work me through this. You can keep.
So, okay. So basically, when I'm scrolling through, I'm looking for something that is like an obvious one that I've missed. So there's like a couple of things that I know you're like very fond of. So like straight off the bat, we've got like things that I would not necessarily expect, but things that might be like an easier guess on someone else's Switch. So like 1-2 Switch or 51 Worldwide Games or like a Short Hike even. Cause like
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
A Short Hike is like one of those indie darling games, but also you have to be in the mood to play it.
Sure.
But I know that you like 51 Worldwide Games you love, 1-2 Switch you've played with your family, A Short Hike you also very much love. And then...
So you're in the A's is what you're trying to tell me.
Well, no, because I passed through the A's, got through the B's as well. There is a very obvious cheap shot here with the B's, but it's a famous like series on the Switch. So there is a chance you finish the first one and play the second one. I've kept that in the back of my mind, just in case. Look, you know what? It doesn't matter because this isn't my guess yet. But basically, listeners, I've stumbled across Bayonetta 1 and 2. Both are installed on the Switch, which makes me think that Levins hasn't finished the first one because he would uninstall it and then play the second one. But also, very famous series, could have finished the first one, ready to start the second one, also may have played them on a different system. So we'll keep that one for now.
Okay, very interesting.
The C's, again, like we've got like Capcom Arcade Stadium, which is a new Capcom thing. I also have that on my Switch, and I haven't played it, but I got it because it came, if you downloaded it immediately within the first week. I'm also very drunk all of a sudden.
Fantastic.
This is exciting. I downloaded it the first week because it came with Ghosts and Goblins. Like, not the remake, but the original version.
Yeah, I couldn't figure out how to download the Ghosts and Goblins.
Yeah, it was like a weird... You had to download... Look, I wish I could remember, but...
Yeah, you never will. Have you watched the Donkey video of him playing the new Ghosts and Goblins?
No, I haven't.
It is one of the funniest... Like, you know, let's play videos I've ever watched. Because that is like an insanely hard game.
Yeah, I have the Super Ghosts and Goblins on Super Nintendo. And I remember that, like, throughout high school, because I bought it secondhand on Super Nintendo when I was in high school, because I had heard that it was very funny and very hard. And I remember there was points where me and my friends would come to my house after school and just sit in front of the Super Nintendo for a couple of hours trying to figure out how the fuck to beat, like, the second level. Because it's just so intense.
Well, so this is... Donkey does... He's playing the first level on the hardest possible difficulty.
Oh, no.
I actually think it's the best video he's ever done.
Jesus.
I've watched it 4 times, and it's a 17-minute long video.
That's huge. Well, when I'm very drunk in the back of an Uber soon, I will definitely check it out.
Have you got... You got AirPods?
I got AirPods.
Thanks, bro. Appreciate that. I refuse to be friends with anyone who doesn't.
Yeah, there are
AirPods Pro or AirPods regular?
No, just AirPods regular.
All right, I'll allow it. You might be.
I found like a couple of games I'm up to see now. So like we've got Crosscode, which is an intense game that I downloaded on Xbox Game Pass but never played. Mm-hmm. But the fact you own it on Switch means you've probably definitely played it. But then there's also like Cruel Bands Career. Whatever the fuck that is. Game I've never heard of. The art style is pretty ugly looking, at least in the thumbnail. That's another one that I'm like thinking about.
You gotta think about it. You just run us through the process until you settle on something.
Drawful 2 is another one where I can't imagine your kids being appealed to that too much, and I also can't imagine you playing it. But then the fact you own it means you probably bought it for a specific purchase, which means that it's definitely been opened. But that is definitely one that popped up on my radar. Being a Switch niche is actually way harder than I thought. It's the weight.
I love that we've managed to get to a tiebreaker. Yeah. This is great. You definitely you got all your cheap shots out.
Yeah, I immediately was like, yeah, easy. Because there's like a couple of games that just look awful, but the fact you've bought them means that you've probably played them, because at some point...
Here's the thing, though. I would say more than half the games on there I've been given codes for.
Yeah, because like there's a game called Light Fingers, which to describe the thumbnail is a bunny playing a like ukulele. So it's a hand. You can see a hand holding a card. The card said Light Fingers. And then behind that is a guy that looks like, very similar to the Defender Beetle thing in Hollow Knight. Then a guy that's like holding a die in between his fingers. And then a rabbit playing like a lute. Again, I can't imagine you playing something like that. But also, the fact you own it means that maybe at some point you're like, yeah, that looks fun.
You got from C to L very fast.
Well, yeah, because... Okay, we'll scroll back up. Because there's like... K, you've got like Katana Zero, Katamari Damacy, Kentucky Road Zero. You've definitely played those. Killer Queen Black, again, huge fan of that. I know you are. J and Silent Bob Mall Brawl, again, another huge, like, big fan of that game. I understand. You'd love it. Although I will say, all jokes aside, that game had way more depth than I was expecting.
Which game?
J and Silent Bob Mall Brawl.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty fun.
Yeah, like, it definitely loses its appeal pretty quickly, but it is significantly better than it has any right to be.
Yeah.
I Hate Running Backwards is one that I reckon there's a pretty big chance you haven't played, because again, it's one of those indie games that's like people know about, but it's not like top tier indie game, but it's talked about enough that you could have easily bought it on sale for like $6 or something and then never played it. Now we're at M's. A lot of Mario's here.
It's not too late. You could phone a friend. We could call John.
John, it's Joel.
Has Levins played I Hate Running Backwards?
He's like, I'm not sure. I'm like, all right, I'm going to frame another friend. Angus. What's the ugliest thumbnail I've ever seen? And here's another one. This game I know went for 99 cents for ages, and I've played this before, and it sucks. Or at least it sucked to play. I don't know if the game, like the mechanics were, I think, way more awkward than I was expecting, which is Mutant Muds. And I know that there's also a very big chance you've played it, because like I've played it, but then also I know that it was like 90 cents at one point, so you could have just bought it for that. You know what? I'm going to go back to my original dog move, which is to say that you have never played Bayonetta 2 on the Switch.
So, Joel, Bayonetta 1 and 2 released on Switch as a collection.
Yes.
On the same day.
Uh-huh.
And I put about 3-4 hours into Bayonetta 1.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, yeah, it's pretty good, but it's not that great. I wonder if 2 is much better.
Fuck! I knew it! I knew that there was a chance of this!
And so I've played, and I still didn't finish Bayonetta 2 either. So this is damning on me. I should have finished at least one of the Bayonetta games, because I do like Platinum a lot. I've played both Bayonetta 1 and 2 for at least a few hours.
I finished Bayonetta 1, and I honestly can't remember if I finished 2, but I know that I liked it. But there's a beer with my name on it, I think.
You finished Bayonetta 1. Guess what else you're about to finish, buddy? But I'll join you. This has been a very special episode of All the Small Games.
Yeah, it's... thank you so much for having me. I've been Joel, the Switch Snitch Doucher. Where I feel like I was in my element for the first half, and then the moment I added more alcohol into the system, just the wheels fell off. What a comeback.
Yeah,
that
I know.
That was huge.
Brilliant.
So, out of the other games that I mentioned, have you played...
Drawful was the one that would have won. You would have won. Yeah. That's a game that I got because it was 99 cents. It's a Jackbox Party spin-off game, is it?
Yeah, I think so. Which is why, because it's associated with Jackbox, I was like, oh, you've probably bought it because at some point there's been like, oh... Because it's definitely happened to me. Like, I earned Quiplash on Steam for that exact reason, which was like, I was... Had people over and they're like, we should play Quiplash. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll just buy it, I guess. But yeah, Drawful, fuck. So Mutant Muds you've played?
Yep, Mutant Muds I played on 3DS and Switch.
That's right.
It's way better on 3DS, but still not that good.
Yeah.
That dev has gone on to do some good stuff, though. Interesting.
What else have they made?
Do you want to scull a beer while I look it up?
Yeah, that sounds good. So I'm going to put down the microphone to just really choke down this beer, but let me know.
Okay, so I'm going to Google Mutant Muds now as Dusha smashes another beer, a very refreshing, beautiful beer. So it's developed by Renegade Kid. And
I didn't successfully scull the beer, but I drank about half the can.
I don't. That was very quick. I don't know.
I'm going to keep drinking it, obviously, but I just wanted to be honest with everyone.
So the games that they've worked on since Mutant Muds, Mutant Muds Deluxe, Moon Chronicles, Zeo Drifter.
Ah!
That game's very fun. It's like a fun kind of like arcadey platformer shoot 'em up. Have you tapped out?
No. I'm going to keep drinking. Don't worry.
But yeah, Drawful is definitely a game that I own and haven't started. Light Fingers, I think, is like a video game board game.
Oh, okay.
So cool. I think if you picked that, I would have been like, yeah, it's a weirdly 3D rendered board game.
Yeah, that's whoa.
I think potentially developed by an Australian studio too.
Yeah, it looks like the type of thing that could have easily had like a big online following, or at least been interesting enough that people paid attention to it.
But yeah, you guys did like a month of shame on Thumb Cramps, and I was like, fuck off, I'm not doing that. And I actually did do it, though. I started playing Monster Boy games.
Yeah.
Monster Boy, yeah, very, very good. And then a game from last year, The Pathless.
Oh, yeah, sweet. That's on PS5 now, too, right?
Yeah, it's what I played it on.
Oh, yeah.
Unbelievably good game. It would have been probably my favorite indie game of last year if I played it last year.
Yeah.
I think it's like a little bit more special than Ori, which I gave Ori Will of the Wisps as my favorite game last year.
Yeah. The like Month of Shame thing would have been, I feel like, a way bigger hit for me if I didn't be like, start the month being like, all right, the first game I'm going to play is Hollow Knight. Because for the entire month, I was just playing Hollow Knight.
Yeah.
Which is, hey, if you have, if you're listening to All the Small Games and you haven't played Hollow Knight, I was like you. I was out there not playing Hollow Knight and being like, yeah, like, I know everyone loves it, but maybe it's not for me. No, you're wrong. It is for you. It's a great game. It's a perfect video game.
Yeah.
It's so fucking good. The first, like, hour or so is pretty intense, and it is one of those games that doesn't really give you any direction of, like, what's going on at first.
But just have fun. Go and die a bunch, because yeah, that first hour doesn't matter. Learn the mechanics of the game and die a bunch.
Because I, like, when I first started playing it, I was, like, precious about dying and, like, felt, I think it was like, whoa, this is intense. And also, like, if I die, like, I'm clearly losing my stuff. Doesn't matter. Who cares? Go explore. Once you find the first map guy, that's when the game really kicks off. And it's so good. Hollow Knight rules, and I know that I'm pretty much preaching to the choir here, but it's so fucking good. I've got, like, a mouthful of beer left, so I should really finish this beer.
But I would extend, like, you know, I think maybe it's not as perfect. Maybe it is a little bit more flawed, or maybe less accessible, and, like, a less kind of, like, it's, I don't know, there's something a little less amazing about it, but I think it's still a phenomenal game, and that is Blasphemous.
Yeah.
Another excellent Metroidvania on Switch. I think, like, when you're talking Metroidvanias on the Switch, that top three got to be Hollow Knight, Blasphemous, Ori Will and the Wisps.
Mm. I haven't played either of the Ori games yet either.
Man, you'd love them. They're so fun. Especially after you finish Hollow Knight, to go back to Oreo, it's just like, oh man, this is the best. It's so fun. Great.
Yeah.
Nothing matters.
I've heard that...
Except for like the odd chase sequence in the first game especially. Like there's the difficulty curve is a lot more forgiving.
Yeah, I've heard that the first Ori game, because it's like it was made pre-Hollow Knight, it's like just exists. It's like a Metroidvania. Then the second Ori feels very much like... has taken things. So Hollow Knight borrows from the first Ori, and the second Ori borrows from Hollow Knight. So it just kind of like builds on each other.
Oh, if they keep doing that for the rest of their lives, that's wonderful. Yeah.
Fuck.
So I've just looked at my library. If you go by A to Z, which I did, A to Z, alphabetical order, the very first game, all the first games are done like all the numerical ones. So like there's like, yeah, like 1, 2 Switch, 51 Global Games, Game Code 88 Heroes, which
the
I have
The very
played.
First game you haven't played. Hey.
The very first game is called Hashtag Fun Time. I have no fucking idea what that game is. So you should have picked that.
Straight off the bat.
There's like, it's like, there's a grid down the bottom and then like a firework up the top. I don't know what the fuck Fun Time is, but yeah, I have never played that.
What's your most played game on the Switch? Hollow Knight?
Let's have a look. Most recently, what is it? Longest total play time is
Zelda
Breath of the Wild, then Hollow Knight, then fuck, a game which I don't like, Ring Fit Adventure. But I had to see it through to the end because it was there for me for a while, and I did enjoy it for a bit during COVID. But then as soon as I went back to a gym, and it was like, oh, this is not actually exercise.
You have a crazy top six.
All right, so Zelda number one, Hollow Knight number two, Ring Fit 3, Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle. Have you played that?
Yes.
I love that game.
So that was like one of the first Switch games post Breath of the Wild where I was like, oh, holy shit, this is sick. But I never actually finished it. I need to go back, and honestly, I'll probably start it again. Just so I can like get back into the
DLC where you play is like with Donkey Kong rocks. So good. Then Mario Odyssey, and then number six is another game I don't like.
Animal Crossing.
So that rounds out the top six. Then Super Smash Brothers Ultimate. Paper Mario the Origami King, Blasphemous, Shovel Knight Treasure Trove, Just Dance 2020, great game. Love that game. And Pokemon Let's Go Eevee.
That's huge. Again, chaotic top 12, but I know that my list is so my Switch was damaged when I bought it, and I didn't know because it was the SD card reader didn't work. So when I eventually bought an SD card, didn't work, so I had to send it back to Nintendo. So my most played games don't include Breath of the Wild and Odyssey, which would be my 1 and 2 easily.
Yep.
So my number one currently is Hollow Knight. Number two, Minecraft.
I love that you're a big Minecraft. You love indie games.
huge indie games guy. It was because Jackson and I used to stream Minecraft, which is why it was so intense.
Is like, it good on Switch, or is like it just is on Switch?
Weird. It's not bad. PC is definitely the best way to play Minecraft still. But hey, if you've got a Switch and you like Minecraft, it's also not that much worse. It's just slightly more complicated, I reckon.
Mm. And yeah, majority of the games in my most played are Nintendo first party.
First party, yeah.
Because yeah, rounding out like the next line of games is Mario 3D World, Mario 3D All-Stars, The Messenger, Luigi's Mansion 3, Fire Emblem Three Houses, and Mario Kart 8 Deluxe.
I just started playing The Messenger. Great game.
It rocks. What a great soundtrack.
Yeah, it's sick. Yeah, I'm playing it on Game Pass. On the PC, actually.
Drop my phone on the ground.
It's all happening here at all the small game studio.
I just wanted people to know that wasn't my Switch that I dropped on the ground. But after Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is Mario Maker 2 and then CrossCode.
Ooh.
So lucky you didn't pick CrossCode.
Yeah, no, CrossCode I knew.
That's a great game.
Yeah, I need to play that, but it's also finish that game. One of those games that I know is like a 40-hour plus.
Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah, yeah.
It's intimidating. I'm scared of it. Well, thank you so much for having me on this very special episode of All the Small Games, Levins.
Hey, man, thank you for being here later than everyone else that I know in my life.
No stress. I traveled interstate for this party.
And for this podcast.
And for this podcast. And also went from buzzed to very, very noticeable.
Yeah, you're going to have a great Uber.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Hope the Uber driver is ready for a conversation. Hey, mate, how's your night? What do you do? Uber driving like your professional? No, I won't ask any of those questions.
I'm he'll ask you.
Oh, God. When Uber drivers ask me what I do, I'm like, both of my jobs are like a huge red flag because they both open an open invite to a conversation I do not want to have. Because if I say I'm a podcaster, they say, oh, what's your podcast about? Or what type of podcast? Like, there's questions.
Mm.
And if I say I'm a manager at a cinema, oh, what cinema? And last time I got an Uber and spoke about the cinema, they asked how I could give them free tickets.
Great.
Yeah, which was, again, a great conversation to have. I'll probably just lie. Maybe I'll say I'm an accountant or something.
I don't work.
I don't work. I'm unemployed. This is actually my last money.
So if you have enjoyed this episode, but the little voice at the back of your head is like, hey, I miss John Valenzuela.
Yeah.
We understand. Both of us understand. John's great.
Yeah.
I'm going to attach at the end of this episode a little snippet of an episode, a bonus episode that John and I recorded last week, all about the indie game Bastion.
Which I need to play. I've never played.
It's such a good game, man. Made by Supergiant Games. And
it's on Switch, yeah?
Yeah, it's on Switch. All Supergiant Games are, except Pyre.
Mm, I reckon I'll probably go back to my hotel room and buy it.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's look around, though. If you don't... I mean, it's probably pretty cheap on Switch, but it's on literally everything.
Yeah.
Obviously,
I might own it on Steam already, but
very possible.
I don't have a PC with me currently, so maybe it's time to play on Switch tonight.
Just go buy a PC.
That's true.
Go late night, Saturday night Sydney PC scene goes hard, man. Just go buy a fucking $7,000 PC.
Yeah, it'd be sick. I'll just
lug that home.
Yeah, I'll email my accountant, which is just H&R Block, and be like, hey, is this cool for like a business expense? And they'll be like, why are you emailing us? Wait till your tax return. It'd be hectic.
Great. But yeah, Supergiant, obviously most famous for making Hades now,
yeah.
But this is their first ever game. It's we did a full history of the game and reviewed all the different parts of it, the graphic, the sound effect.
The graphic, the sound effect, the gameplay, the control.
Yep.
The control, yes.
The music, all that stuff.
Song, yeah, good.
If you want to hear the full episode after you hear this little snippet, you can hear that over at patreon.com/allthesmallgames. And you can also vote on our next game of the month because, yeah, Bastion was our first ever game of the month club game since we started our Patreon. And our next one, we invite everyone in our Patreon Discord to review the game and play the game with us.
Hell yeah.
And the next one we're doing, you can vote over at our Patreon. And it's between two first-person indie games.
Ooh.
So we have The Stanley Parable.
Yep.
Have you ever played that?
Yes, I've played The Stanley
Very
Parable.
Very fun. And then Firewatch.
Firewatch. Haven't played Firewatch. In fact, if you said first-person indie games, Superhot was one that came to my mind.
Oh, fuck. I should have chosen Superhot. Very true.
Yeah, but hey, that's fine. But yeah, hey. I haven't played Firewatch. Stanley Parable, really like, but also tries very hard to be funny. So sometimes...
But it is genuinely funny for the most part, right?
Yeah. It's It's a game that, like, I finished, but would not try and find all of the endings.
There's like 20 something.
Yeah, there's
right?
heaps.
There's a lot of endings.
I mean, I played Nier Automata, which has 26.
And so, still, like, you can't pronounce it.
Nier Automata.
Automata.
Automata. Wait. Anyway, it's not an indie game, so it doesn't matter. Whatever I said on this podcast doesn't count.
So yeah, you can hear the full episode that you're about to hear a snippet of over at patreon.com/allthesmallgames. Please support the podcast if you are able to. We would love to have you be part of our community. And if you want to hear Dusha on many other podcasts, you can over on sanspantsradio.com. His podcasts include, but are not limited to, Thumb Cramps, Plumbing the Death Star, Baseless Speculation, and How Good's Footy.
That's true. Look, hey, check out Thumb Cramps if you're listening to this podcast. It's another video game based podcast. We get screamed at all the time for our opinions. We're not clever, nor are we particularly good gamers. So check it out.
Yeah, the latest episode, one of the most frustrating experiences I've ever had in my life, especially because I listened to it on the way to my DJ gig on Friday, which I thought Dusha was going to come. He's been up from Melbourne all weekend.
Yep.
And he was like, hell yeah, I'll come and watch you DJ. It's like at a restaurant. We're going to eat together, have some beers together. Be so good. So I was like, yeah, cool. Dusha's going to come meet me here. This is going to be awesome. And you didn't.
Nope.
And so I was like, oh, that's fine. A bit annoying, but that's fine. And then I was like, yeah, Dusha's, you know, it gets just a little bit annoying. It's fine. Not super annoying. Then I got in my car after my gig that Dusha didn't meet me at, and straight away the autoplay came on and played me.
me for 20 minutes, trying very hard to explain what Loop Hero was and not even getting close.
I think maybe one of the most annoying things I've ever listened to in my life.
And you should check that out. So just head to wherever you get podcasts from, type in Thumb Cramps, Loop Hero and Other Games.
Most recent episode.
Yeah, most recent episode. I spend between 20 and 25 minutes trying to explain to the other two co-hosts what Loop Hero is as a game. I don't even really review it. It's just like what it looks like. It's really hard to explain, it turns out.
Yeah, so I genuinely thought that when I saw Dusha today, finally, I was going to just box him.
Yeah. I had to like protect my neck, I guess. I was just very scared of a coward punch.
Hey, man, I would not go cow punch.
No, that's true. That's true. It would have been just a fist directly into my face. And I would have deserved it. And that's
maybe the people's elbow.
I just like walked into your house. I'm like, hey, Levins, happy birthday. And then I just hear,
do you smell when I'm cooking?
What?
Woo! It doesn't matter what it is. But yeah, thank you so much for listening to this wonderful episode. We are both in a fantastic state, and I hope you play this wonderful game. It's called Battle Switch with your friends, because I guarantee you everybody has at least two games
on their
Switch that they've never even opened before. One day I will play it on I'll play this game on Dusha's Switch, and I can't wait. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you very next time. I'm 36.
I'm drunk.
I'm going to butcher the history to the best I can. You know how great I am at ruining everything in my head. So get ready to have a terrible version of Supergiant's history told to you now. Because before 2011, before Bastion was first published, there was a team of seven game makers led by two men, Amir Rao and Greg Kasavin. Amir basically was working at EA Games.
Do I hop in if you've butchered something?
Yes, please do.
All right, so it was founded by Amir Rao and Gavin Simon. Greg Kasavin came in a bit later on. He wasn't quite ready to leave EA when they founded the studio, but because they remained friends, they were like, we really need help on this game. And he was like, right, fuck it, I'm quitting, I'm coming in.
My bad. So I took the I decided I'll tell the history part, because fuck knows how I'm going to explain the plot of the game. I'm going to make John do that. But look, maybe we don't need to get into semantics of it, but like what I love about this team is that it really was like Amir Rao. It was working. They were working on much bigger budget games, and they were, you know, one small person on big teams working on sequels to these enormous games with so much legacy behind them. I think they were working on games like, you know, Command and Conquer.
Yeah.
A few other, you know, big games that you would not expect people who are now making, you know, Hades and the like to have worked on in the past. And Amir's father, you know, he was like 25 and he was like, I really want to start my own games company. He was like, well, his dad was like, well, why don't you do it now? Because if you spend 2 years doing it now and realize you can't make it work, then you're still young and you can move on to something else. And not only did he impart this very helpful wisdom, he also said, you can start your games company in my house. And so he gave them a living room, basically, which they turned into a big think tank. And this was in San Jose, California. And they basically like worked day and night on their vision. And
pretty much lived in the house at the same time.
Was that sorry?
Lived in the house at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Silicon Valley has ruined any luster, like, you know, any like nice thoughts of a setup like that for me. Just, you know, when you actually see it in action, it just seems so horrific. But I love that. Yeah, they, you know, they were a family, I guess, a family working on a game together.
It's such a quintessential indie developer story as well. Like, watching through this, I got shades of Yacht Games founding, how they were like, it wasn't as big a publisher, it wasn't EA level, but the Yacht Games team were all working at the same kind of like, I think it was an educational game company that just churned out title after title, and they were like, we want to do something more creative, let's break away from this, all moved into a house together and just threw all of their efforts into making the game of their dreams.
Yeah, and so while they're working at these much bigger you know game studios, they're playing games, and this is from the documentary, one of the mentions that they were playing games like Plants vs. Zombies, World of Goo, and Braid, and wondering, oh, could we do something smaller like that? Have you played those games, John?
Played Braid, played World of Goo. What was the first one again?
Plants vs. Zombies. Everyone's played Plants vs.
Zombies. Oh, yeah, I've played all three.
One of the great phone games. World of Goo, I played on Wii. That is one of the few definitive Wii indie games, I think. I know it came to other platforms afterwards, but for a while it was a Wii exclusive.
Interesting, okay.
And I think best played with the Wiimote. Yeah, Amir was asked, I think it was Amir that was asked multiple times, you know, what kind of game is your dream game? If you could make your dream game, what would it be? And he said a mix of Diablo 2 and Viva Piñata. Now, I know that I can see the influence of Diablo 2 on all of the Supergiant games, basically, because they are all that isometric style. But I've never played Viva Piñata. I could, because it's on Game Pass. But is it like a rhythm game?
I have no idea. I've never played it as well.
But John, you've had an Xbox for all 22 years that I've known you.
it's one of those games that like has kind of gained meme status among Xbox audiences. I don't think it's necessarily a terrible game. I think it's just one of those games that people joke like, oh, well, it's like the new Xbox, will it run Viva Piñata kind of thing?
Right, so, yeah, sure. And it's the first game that one of the first games that Rare made for Microsoft as well.
Yeah. I think maybe if I had to guess, the influence he's talking about is it's a very, very colorful game. And that kind of like, you can see that in Bastion. Bastion is very colorful, which we'll get into in a little bit, but that's my guess. I don't know if he wanted like Diablo 2, but the main character is a piñata.
No, actually, I now know what influence he was hoping to impart on the game, because Viva Piñata was actually a life simulation game in which the player restores and tends to a neglected garden on Piñata Island. So I guess in the video, they kind of suggest that there was a lot more, because in Bastion, it is like, you know, for the most part, an action RPG, but after you beat each level, you return to your hub world, which is the Bastion. And it is in shambles when you first arrive there. And you search the lands that you can visit to for cores that you can then use to upgrade the Bastion and return it to its former glory. And in the video, they talk about how like gardening played a much bigger role in the early ideas of what Bastion was going to be. So I think there was going to be a lot more kind of like simulation and kind of resource gardening management kind of stuff in the game. So now that makes sense to me. Cool. I love this this line from the Viva Pinata Wikipedia. The game received positive reviews from critics who praised the graphics, color palette, and numerous types of pinatas.
I'd love it if there was just one critic that's like, not enough pinatas.
The beginnings of Supergiant Games, it's all friends, and until Bastion starts becoming a more fleshed out idea, and they start needing to hire more people. The first fully formed piece of media related to Supergiant Games is actually the music, and the composer on all of the Supergiant Games is a man named Darren Korb, you've no doubt loved so many of his scores. I know a lot of people praise the music in Hades in particular, and he's worked on Bastion, Transistor, Pyre, and Hades. One of the first pieces of music that then stayed in that same form for the entirety of the development of Bastion was some of the theme music that Darren Korb put together. Because as well as, like, you know, the idea of, you know, making a game that was inspired by Diablo 2 and Viva Pinata, a very big influence on the game is the American novelist Cormac McCarthy, who is best known for No Country for Old Men, The Road, lots of games that are like either post-apocalyptic, sorry, not games, most of not a lot of novels that are like, most of his novels are either post-apocalyptic or Western, and Bastion is both of those things. Yes. So with that kind of like idea, he started composing music. Darren Korb started composing music for what Bastion would become. As the game got bigger, they had to hire new staff, and they hired Jen Z, and she is the main artist for Bastion. And before that, they were kind of like, I guess, scanning things, elements that they didn't even own, and was just kind of using them as elements within their early versions of the game. And she really brought everything to life. And she said her biggest influences were a lot of JRPGs on the Super Nintendo and the PS1. And you can definitely see that influence in the graphics of Bastion.
I think sort of speaking of like, watching that documentary and playing the game again, I feel like there were three main components that really brought the game to life. One was the music, second one was the art, and the third one's the narration.
That's right.
And which was... please go.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. I mean, it was all written by Greg Cassavin, who has served as the writer for all the Supergiant games. And is it him or one of the other developers who lives down the road, like next door to the narrator?
It was Darren Korb lived, like, shared an apartment with Logan Cunningham,
yep,
who was an actor who became the voice of Rux, who was the narrator in the game. And it's actually, the process by which they came to it is really interesting, because they knew they wanted to make a really narrative-heavy game. But the one thing that was causing them problems was they didn't want to have cutscenes all the time that, you know, chop you out of the, like, chop the player out of the game and lead to sort of a sense of disconnection from the gameplay itself. So they thought, like, well, okay, what if we have someone doing this narration over the top?
Mm-hmm.
Gave it a bit of a test, and Darren Korb was like, my roommate's a voice actor or an actor. Why don't we just get him to record a few lines and see how he goes? And the dude must have hit it out of the park on the first try, because, like, Bastion is almost nothing without Rux, essentially.
It's such an important part of the game. And as someone that is like hates most cutscenes, I'm someone who will generally, like, I if it's a Japanese game, I'll watch it in. I make sure I put subtitles on with Japanese audio, because otherwise, as soon as I hear voices, I just reach for my phone and stop looking at the screen as a reflex.
Right.
I hate a lot of cutscenes. I find them, a lot of them, so unnecessary. But I love their decision to have it, and I love that, like, this game wasn't, they never like built the game around having a narrator. It just was something that happened naturally, and then they built the rest of the game around the narrator's involvement. So Logan Cunningham has a very, like, raspy southern style drawl, which was based on, the main influences were Ian McShane's character in Deadwood, Sam Elliott as the stranger in The Big Lebowski, and Daniel Day-Lewis's character in Gangs of New York. They were the three kind of performances that inspired Logan's performance on Bastion. He's since been the narrator in all four of the Supergiant games. It's what I love about this. Like, you hear so many horrible stories about game dev studios, and it just feels like Supergiant is like, you know, yeah, they literally were a family when they made this. Like, almost all of the team were living in the same house working on this game. And like, since I feel like almost everyone that worked on this game also worked on Hades and the games in between.
The original seven from Supergiant, they're all still in, they're all still part of the company. Which is, it's like you say, that's wild. It's crazy that they've had that, you know, decade, or like more than a decade long history now of all just working together. There's been no ego-driven fallouts, no fights, no nothing like that. They've just kept on putting out critically acclaimed games.
Thanks so much for listening to this snippet of our latest Patreon episode about Bastion. If you would like to hear the full version of this episode, all more than 1 hour of it, it's like 70 minutes long, please head to patreon.com/allthesmallgames, and $5 a month gets you our bonus episode every month, plus a whole bunch of other perks, including our Discord community and other cool stuff like that. Thanks again, and see you next week. Bye.